Welcome to Tension, the Film Noir of the Week podcast. I'm Steve Eifert. Before we get to this week's selection, I wanted to remind you that the Arthur Lyons Film Noir Festival is going on in Palm Springs right now. If you live in the area, check it out. This year, like every year, they mix well-known noir with some rare-as-roast beef flicks. If you can't make it to the Arthur Lyons Film Noir Festival, then pick up the Arthur Lyons-penned film noir book, Death on the Cheap. For years, I've used this dog-eared book for reference. It's an outstanding book if you're digging the cheap Poverty Row type film noirs like I do. For a completist, this is a must-have. If you're into foreign film noir, the Dallas Museum of Art is screening Distinto Amanecer, the 1943 film known in the U.S. as Another Dawn and featuring a familiar face to James Bond fans. This 1943 Mexican film noir is playing this Sunday at the Dallas Museum of Art. Now for this week's selection. This one is the exact opposite of cheap. It's a big budget production. Movie studios were trying to cash in on the huge success of Double Indemnity a few years before. It's the glossy, fantastic John Garfield starrer from 1946, The Postman Always Rings Twice. The Postman Always Rings Twice has one of the most famous character introductions in the history of film. John Garfield, playing the drifter Frank, arrives at a roadside diner on a hot summer day and orders a burger.
Go ahead. We're not going to make any money in here. I'll look after the hamburger.
Thanks.
The owner of the diner, Nick, runs out to pump some gas and leaves Frank alone in the diner. Suddenly, a lipstick rolls across the floor towards him. Frank, and the camera, looks back to see where it came from. All you see is a bare set of woman's legs. The camera cuts back to Frank, who literally looks like the breath has been knocked out of him. There's a full shot of the leg's owner, Lana Turner. She's all dressed in white and looks like $1 million. She teases and flirts with Frank, but at the same time pretends like she has no interest in him. Moments later, you see Frank outside putting a man wanted sign into the fire. The sign clearly has a double meaning at this point. It's both an ad for help wanted and man wanted. When he finds out that the woman is Nick's wife, he quickly retrieves it. But one more glance at Cora in the diner changes his mind again, and he puts the sign back in the fire. Those few moments begin the twisted tale of infidelity and murder told in The Postman Always Rings Twice. Although I think it's a great film, the rest of the movie could not live up to the opening. I won't go into the film's plot in detail because I assume most of you have seen it. If you haven't, stop reading and watch it now. The sexual chemistry and star power of the two actors were undeniable, and those first few minutes are unforgettable. Lana Turner began her film career in 1937, but that one scene almost 10 years later really made an impact. MGM made the film, which was surprising to me up until the point of me starting to write this review. I always assumed this was a Warner Brothers film. MGM wasn't known for making crime or suspense films. Turner, with her platinum blonde hair and perfect figure, was up to the task. Unfortunately, she was maybe too perfect looking for the part. She comes across too glamorous for most of the film. Jessica Lange, who played the part again years later in the boring 1980s remake, could play sexy but trashy much better. Garfield, who was borrowed from WB, was already a veteran in these type of films. In fact, his casting is pretty much a no-brainer. Who else but Garfield could play the rebellious Frank better than him? Like Turner, Garfield, who could play Scruffy, was here a little too clean-cut for the part. An unofficial Italian film version of the story, based on the novel by James M. Cain from 3 years earlier, Ossessione, had equally handsome Massimo Garrotti playing the male lead. But Garrotti wore a worn-out suit and shoes with holes in them. When Garfield arrives at the diner, driven there by the always-in-the-way district attorney, he's clean-shaven, wears a black suit, and a crisp white shirt. He looks like George Clooney when he gets out of prison in Ocean's 11. He doesn't look like the bum that just jumped out of the back of the truck like Garrotti. Also, watching it again, I found some big problems with the scripts. The story flaws were no doubt because of rewrites to keep the censors happy, but they still bothered me. I agree with the James M. Cain purists here who say that the book is tighter. The district attorney, played by mustached Leon Ames, was always around, from driving Frank to the diner all the way to the two deaths at the end. Wasn't he a little too personally involved in the case? Why was he so suspicious of Frank when Nick first goes to the hospital? Why was he called to the hospital in the first place? When Frank and the DA give each other sideways glances at the hospital, I had to laugh. Kara pleads manslaughter and gets probation? I'm not a lawyer, but I would assume she'd get some jail time. Even if Frank is considered a suspect in Nick's death, clearly the death of Kara is an accident, and they wouldn't have had a case against him. My rewatch did remind me of some things that I've forgotten about and enjoyed. The two lawyers, Ames and Hume Cronin, who almost steals the whole film, they battle it out at one point where they forget about right and wrong, is smart and well-written, regardless of the questionable legal mumbo-jumbo. Also, Garfield recites the line, "With my brains and your looks, we could go places." The line is even more clever when you realize that Frank Chambers is a dope and Cora has pretty much tricked him into doing everything. He's so whipped at the end, he talks to a priest and wonders if Cora still loves him. The roadside killing of Nick is also fantastic. Seeing poor Nick singing away while Frank raises the bottle to kill him is great. Ossessione, by the way, doesn't show the killing. What's the old movie rule? Show it, don't tell it. The middle of Postman sags quite a bit after the suspenseful killing. Even the appearance of Audrey Totter doesn't live up to much. The Italian film here handles the middle parts and end much better. But, even with my nitpicking, I have to say The Postman Always Rings Twice is still one of my favorite films thanks to the famous first few minutes that are burned into my memory.
Something that happened to Nick?
Something like that.
Cora.
Well, you suggested it yourself once, didn't you?
I was only joking.
Were you?
Yes, I was.
Or had you started to think about it a little?
Maybe I said it, but I didn't really mean it.
Well, I say it again now, and I do mean it. Frank, listen to me. I'm not what you think I am. I've made a big mistake in my life, and I've got to be this way just once to fix it.
They hang you for a thing like that.
Oh, but not if you do it right. And you're smart, Frank. You'll think of a way. Plenty of men have.
He never did any harm to me.
But darling, can't you see how happy you and I would be together here without him?
Waiting a long time for that kiss.
When we get home, Frank, then there'll be kisses. The kisses with dreams in them. Kisses that come from life, not death.
I hope I can wait.
Thanks for listening to this week's selection, The Postman Always Rings Twice. Remember to follow us on our blog, filmnoiroftheweek.com, our Facebook page, Film Noir Quote of the Day on Instagram, and on Twitter. I'm Steve Eifert.